Well, it's good to be with all of you this morning as we continue the preaching of God's Word, as we continue our worship. This week I've been thinking about how does the church be built up here on earth? Many churches today are built on personality. Many churches are built on activities. Many churches are built on how cool or how hip it is. But our church here, we're ultimately built on the foundation of God's Word and His Spirit moving in our community. So it's important that every Sunday we continue pressing in to His Word, opening our hearts and minds to listen to what the Spirit may be saying to us. Today we're actually quite distracted, aren't we? So many things fighting for our attention. And we've lost the art of listening to the voice of God. Maybe some of us, we think we know more than the Word of God. We're in Silicon Valley after all. Like, what has the Word of God got to do with my life? But I beg to differ, because if we look, we need the Word and Spirit of God more than ever. This book here is timeless. This book is living and it penetrates the hearts of man. So it's crucial that we continue to equip ourselves in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, just to recap, the first week of September, I looked at how we use gifts to edify and build up the body of Christ. The second week, I looked at how we can equip ourselves in spiritual disciplines. You see, we can only do so much for the kingdom of God depending on how deep we are digging in our spiritual disciplines. And last week, Elder David talked about how we can equip ourselves with eternal thinking, thinking about our finances in the kingdom of God and what we treasure here on earth, and the importance of investing in the kingdom. Now today, before Gospel Sunday next week, I want to take this opportunity to talk to you guys about being equipped for uncertain times. You see, we don't really need to look far and wide to admit that uncertainty is always around the corner. Turn on the news, from the world events around us to the state of US politics, the upcoming elections. What happens if Harris and Waltz wins? What happens if Trump and Vance wins? All these anxieties start to build up. Maybe it's the health of our loved ones. Maybe it's job pressures that we're facing in the Bay Area. Maybe it's college applications for many of you seniors. The list goes on. And we can't help but find a bit of stability and peace in the midst of chaos and fear. So today we're going to go back to the Word of God, the timeless Word of God. It's one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 46. So if you have your Bibles or have your phones, turn to Psalms 46. Get your Bibles ready. And we're going to see a very popular Psalm throughout church history whenever God's people were faced with uncertainty. So today's message is equipped for uncertain times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your word to know that in our anxious hearts and our situations that are ever before us, Lord, we're able to see you as our refuge and as our strength. Lord, teach us your ways, for you are our shepherd. You are the one who is leading us in this path, and you are always with us, so that we need not fear, but we can face every day with full confidence, knowing who you are. So Lord, speak to us as we again come and press into your word. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, exactly around 10 years ago, I was a young seminary student in my second year of Bible college. Now, at that time, I was thinking about what church I should do my ministry internship at, placement. And the obvious choice was my dad's church. My dad had a thriving church, and I thought, maybe I could go to my dad's church to do ministry placement. But I thought, I should go outside of my comfort zone a bit. So I remember one day after a lecture, one of the seminary professors came up to me and he approached me and he said, "Ben, are you interested in interning at a church that has a special people group? That is a special people group, the Chinese of East Timor." Now, who's heard of that people group before? The Chinese of East Timor, the East Timorese. Not many, huh? Now, these were the Hakka Han people of East Timor who fled and migrated to Australia in 1975 due to an Indonesian invasion. So at that time, because they were occupied by Portugal, and Indonesian army invaded and killed around 100,000 East Timorese. Now, they all fled to Australia, finding refuge in 1975. Now, long story short, I agreed and I started my two-year seminary internship at this church. Now, in my 2 years, I found it a big blessing, because these people had a different life to mine growing up. I was able to hear a lot of stories of how these Hakka East Timorese, they fled to Australia in boats. Now this, when we think about fleeing to Australia in boats, this wasn't simply just going to the docks, you know, handing over your documents, and all this while everyone's sipping cocktails and this beautiful scenery. They were describing these beach executions that happened in front of them, losing loved ones before and arriving in Australia. So in my 2 years, I listened to all these stories from these church aunties and uncles. And in the midst of all their pain and experiences, carrying throughout many generations, they all found Australia to be the safe haven, the place of refuge where they could come and restart their lives. A lot of them feel eternally grateful for Australia because in the midst of chaos in East Timor and uncertainty, Australia gave them stability, security, and peace. Now, I'm not sure how many of you feel hearing about this people group. You might find it totally interesting or totally irrelevant. I mean, after all, we grew up in the Bay, we live in the Bay, and this experience is actually so distant to us. I mean, let's be real, none of us have faced war or famine or starvation. The likelihood of any country invading the US is close to zero. I just can't imagine like Canada invading the US and then us fleeing in boats to Mexico. Imagine that, huh? Biggest plot twist. Mexico builds a wall to keep Americans out. Right? It just that won't happen. So these stories, they may be interesting, but the truth is this. They're very distant from our reality. But if we allow ourselves this morning to just think a bit more deeply, I actually can't help but admit, internally, we as a people group face much chaos and uncertainty in our own lives. You see, though it may not look like outwardly like the 1975 East Timorese refugees and what they experienced, but if we're honest with ourselves this morning, many of us are actually longing for some peace and stability. Many of us are looking and searching for that place of refuge. Every day we face inner battles within ourselves, a battle between flesh and our souls. We face uncertainty of what may come regarding this year's election. We worry and fear the future for our children growing up in the Bay. We fear our own job security, pressures from our managers, the college we attend and how we may be perceived. All these worries and anxieties are just piling up one after another. Today I want to use this Psalm 46. It's a community hymn that was likely written to encourage the Israelites to trust in God and find their ultimate peace in Him. And this psalm can actually encourage all of us in this generation that life will be chaotic and it's going to be uncertain at times. But like the Israelites of old, you and I can have full confidence in our God. So Psalms 46, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in our city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations, they are in chaos. The kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks a bow and snaps a spear. He spurns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. What a powerful psalm, isn't it? This is one of the favorite psalms of many Christians today. It's so famous that when the great reformer Martin Luther, whenever he faced inner turmoil in his heart and external opposition from the church of that time, he would gather his friends and they would sing Psalm 46. So this morning, I want to break it down for us in three parts. In three parts. God is always for us, from verses 1 to 3. God is always with us, 4 to 7. And God is always victorious among us, 8 to 11. God is always for us, God is always with us, and God is always victorious among us. So the first one I want to talk about is this. God is always with us. The psalmist begins from verses 1 to 3 by describing the confidence We have to rely upon the Lord. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. So he's not only one of these things, but he's all of these things for all of his people. And he's always ready to help in times of trouble. What's interesting is in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it contains 21 different times the word trouble. But here, the word trouble means in tight places. So it conveys this feeling of someone being trapped, of being squeezed or hemmed in by opposition. So for example, King David often used this word to describe being pressed, being squeezed by his enemies. Often when there's chaos in our lives of some sort, we feel trapped. We feel hemmed in. Physically, it feels like we're suffocating. Internally, it feels like we're in a tight place, being pressed. But those who place their trust in God, they need not fear. Verses 2 to 3 says this, "We will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge." The earth and mountains, they're typically images of stability. But here, the psalmist describes them as giving way. They're being overtaken by this relentless, raging, unstable, dangerous sea. And it's a picture of natural catastrophe and great chaos. So imagine the movie Godzilla, just absolute chaos and frantic everywhere. But for God's people, their refuge is in him. He's present with his people. And so if God's people can be without panic, when the ground shifts and the seas rage and the nations rage and crumble, the psalmist is teaching us, whatever is pressing on us this morning, whatever is squeezing us in, whatever is keeping us in a tight position, we can face it with full confidence. Now, if we've lived long enough, many of us can look back at some moment in our lives, at some time or some season that we were faced with some type of crisis. Probably some of us have felt the tremors of financial hardship. Maybe we felt internal distress, depression, health concerns, stress at work, setbacks in ministry, broken relationships, loss of loved ones close to us. And we might also describe what the psalmist says, that it feels like the very ground beneath our feet was shaking. And we might also describe it as our world was being turned upside down. And we also reach for this catastrophic language because there's great turmoil happening around and in us. It's too much. We're unable to handle it. So many of us, what do? Well, we turn to what we know. We turn to what we have built with our own hands. Ah, money will solve our issue. That's why many of us spend countless of years and all our energy into building up stocks and investments and into tangible assets. Ah, surely money will save us and solve all our issues. But money cannot protect us from crisis. Money cannot protect us from heartbreak, failure, sin, disease, or disaster in this world. I met a man once who his son was dying in the ER, and I was actually there with him. He was a wealthy businessman, and he said to the doctors, he said, "I'll give millions to this hospital if you keep my son alive." No matter how much wealth he had or was willing to donate to the hospital, he experienced immense heartbreak when they pulled life support from his son and his son passed away. Other people, in the midst of chaos and crisis, they turn to their education. Surely, my education will save me. I've been trained at the top college in China, in Taiwan, in the US. Surely. But I've met and counseled many people who have graduated from these top schools but just can't solve the issue of their marriage. They can't solve the issues surrounding their relationship with their siblings or the issues within themselves. No matter how educated they are, they can't seem to work things out. Still others expect security from family, friends, build business connections. But if you live life long enough, you know these things will fade away. But this morning, the psalmist teaches us something different. Only God is our help. Only God is our stronghold into which we flee. Just as ancient civilizations would build fortresses for their people to flee in times of war, likewise, God is our fortress when we are faced with chaos. We run to him. We need not fear. And he is always there with us. You see, God never puts us on hold. He's never out of office. He's never on vacation or on sick leave. He's always there for us. That's why you and I, we can walk from crisis to confidence. Second point, God is always with us. Verses 4 to 7, let's read that. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Now, continuing on, we see the point here lies in contrast with the surging seas of verse 3. However great the convulsions of the nations or nature, with God, there is a life-giving river that brings peace into the city of God. You see, the psalmist here is careful to point out that this is not due to anything special about the city or the holy place, but it's the very presence of God that brings peace. It's the very presence of God, regardless of what's going around, regardless of the nations crumbling, regardless of the kingdoms and in disruption, in times of upheaval, God's presence is a place where it can guarantee provision and protection. Now, this sounds nice, doesn't it? I was thinking about that this week. A lot of the Psalms, they sound like these bumper stickers, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Be still and know that I am God. God is always with us. It sounds nice. It's actually very hard to believe. When situations arise in our lives, we really find it hard to believe and live out the reality that God is teaching us through the Psalms. What's the issue? What went wrong? How come we sing at church, God's presence goes before us, but when calamity hits, we're left wondering what's going on? I think the solution today is that we need to start cultivating an awareness of the presence of God more in our lives. Yes, God is with us. Yes, God's presence goes before us. But it's up to us to have an awareness of his presence. Because only when we have an awareness of his presence in our everyday lives, we are then able to step into a proper experience of God being in our lives. You know, I'm reminded of a short story in Exodus 3 when Moses, when he encounters this angel in the burning bush. Moses saw this burning bush from a distance that was on fire and it didn't burn out. The branches were still intact. But Moses looked at it and he looked at it and the burning bush was still going on. Moses eventually goes to it and checks it out. Just from this short story, we can learn something. Moses recognized the unusual nature of this bush. It was burning, but it wasn't consumed. In other words, he didn't just look at it and say, oh, this bush is burning, I'll just move along. He would have had to observe it over the course of hours to realize that it was still aflamed, but the branches were not burning off. Second, he didn't ignore it. If you notice carefully, he moved towards it. It captivated him. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes in our life when something happens, let's just say something out of the ordinary happens in our everyday mundane life, something we didn't expect, we need to stop for a second and keenly observe. Hey, in this situation, could God be saying something to me? In this area of my life, is God changing the course of my actions? Sometimes I think we're too quick to dismiss something that happens in life. We think, oh, that's probably just really random. But we have to question, to be attentive when things start to arise. What is God trying to do to grab my attention? A lot of times God may do this, and we need to observe. And as we observe, as we think, as we pray, what God is doing in the situation, we start seeing his presence more and more in our lives. We start to feel it and experience a tangible presence. Now, I remember when I was a young boy in my early teens, there was this stage in my life from middle school and high school. I was actually very, very upset. I actually felt this immense loneliness because growing up at church, church life was pretty much part of our DNA as pastor's kids. So I would have 6 good friends all the way from middle school. It's a group of friends. And we would do everything together. But various reasons, people know, people leave church for various reasons. But because my dad was the pastor, it was very hard. So a lot of it personal. And so anyways, from middle school to high school, I lost actually all my 6 friends at that time. And if anyone knows me, I'm very sociable. I need to be with a group of people. Like when I go to the mall back in Australia, I had to be in a group of people. When I went to the coffee shop, I had to be with a group of people. So these friends were always with me all the time. But at the end of high school, all these friends left, their families left because of, you know, whatever reason. And I remember at that time, I was very, very bitter. And I questioned God. I said, God, are you really with me? How can this be possible? Everything in my mind was a complete mess. Now, I remember one day so vividly that I was at home and I was watching TV and I had this prompting in my heart to just go for a walk to the park. It was just a simple walk. And normally I would just be like, no, I can't be bothered. I'll continue watching TV. But I listened and I just went on this walk. It was very simple. As I arrived at the park, it was just a very simple day. I took a seat at the swing and I looked around me. And everything started to pop up, and I couldn't help but notice God's creation on full display. The smell of the grass, the small flowers, the trees were blossoming. At this moment, I felt this immense presence of God saying to me, you're not alone in this journey. I'm with you each and every step of the way. And I stopped as I reflected, as I closed my eyes. I started to experience God's presence with me. It was very tangible. And through this experience, I started to experience through his creation, the beauty of his creation, the goodness of his creation coming together. And it reminded me, hey, Ben, as I orchestrate nature, as I bring up the flowers, as I grow the trees, everything I orchestrate in nature, I will also orchestrate in your life for your good and for your glory. You see, the reality all throughout scriptures is God's presence from the very get-go is always with his people. In the Psalms this morning, we're reminded God is with us regardless of the situation. But the homework that we need to walk away with is to be attentive, to listen, and to cultivate in our hearts an awareness of his presence. Third, God is victorious among us. God is victorious among us. Verses 8 to 11. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks a bow and snaps a spear. He burns his shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. In this third section, we read about the Lord's work and how the Lord is victorious. And the psalmist encourages the worshipers to come and see for yourself the works of the Lord. Just like today, you and I like to show people, hey, look at what I've achieved. Look at what I can do. The psalmist is saying, inviting all of us, come, open your eyes, see for yourself the mighty works of God. You see, I think one of the greatest tragedies in the Christian life is that we have a failure that we fail to see. We fail to open our eyes and see what God can do and continues to do. But the psalmist calls the reader, open your eyes. Look around. Look at the deserted battlefield. It's filled with broken bows. It's shattered spears. Who did this? Who destroyed this army? Not you. Who else but me, God? You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we fail to look around and see the remains of what God has done. Do you get what I'm saying? When things bad, let's just say, for example, when things go bad in our life and there's a solution and it's fixed, we're like, oh yeah, praise God, and we move on. But what I think we should be doing is reflecting, stopping and looking. Wow, this situation was going to be this bad. Well, this circumstance was hopeless, and thinking in our minds, these were all the things that would have happened. These are all the calamities that would have happened upon me and my family. These are all the things that I would have experienced. And we reflect and we go, but God stepped into the scene. God showed up and he fought the battle. You see, as we do this, as we learn to contemplate, as we learn to reflect and to look upon him and to open our eyes, the psalmist teaches us, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You see, be still is one of those great verses that we have on all these Chinese calendars, these Chinese Christian calendars. You always see it, be still and know that I am God. But in its original context, it's not meant to evoke the quiet, reflective stillness, which is often used to convey it. But this verse is extending the same bold voice of the earlier voices. This is not a whisper, be still. It's be still. It's the same be still as Jesus boldly proclaimed to the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when he spoke his word over creation and nature calmed at the command of his voice. You know what I find interesting? Think about this for a little. Who did Jesus say, be still to? Most will say to the storm, right? He said, be still. And the storm immediately calmed. But I think Jesus was saying this also to his disciples, who are also in chaos. You see, today Jesus is saying the same thing exactly to us. When life becomes chaotic, when the external and the internal things come crashing in wave after wave, be still. Marriage breaking down, be still. I have all these college pressures, be still. I have all these financial pressures, and be still. I have work, be still. In every circumstance, be still. And God is saying to us, be still. And in its original meaning, it's basically saying, just chill. God doesn't use that language like chillax. But it means, put your hands by your side, be still. Whenever we're faced with trouble, what's one thing that we do the most? We use our hands to express, like, what's going on? You know, or we punch a wall, or we like, grab something, or we throw it. I mean, it sounds a bit like anger management, but we're like, what? But here, in the original meaning, it's get your hands off this matter. Put your hands by your side. I know a thing or two about this, because every day I have to say to Aaron, be still, be atom. Hands by your side. I'll feed you, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. Right? Be still, because always moving stuff and always carrying stuff and always destroying things in the house. And I'll tell her, I got it. Lam baba zuo, right? That's what God is saying to us. In all the situations of our lives, put your hands by your side. Be still. Many of us, we can't. We're used to solving it. We need to put our hands into it. We can fix it. Come on, man. I know this. I'm an expert in relationships. How can I can fix this marriage? Put your hands by your side. Be quiet. Be still. Chillax. I'm facing all these college, pressures. But you know what? I've got tutoring. I've got college experts teaching me. My parents have spent all this money on me. I've got. Be still. Put your hands by your side. Know that God is in control. So as I wrap it up this morning, dear friends, this is how we equip ourselves in times of uncertainty. We preach to ourselves, God is our refuge, God is our strength, He's our help in times of trouble. We need not be afraid. Today, you might think, well, Ben, you don't really know what I'm going through. You don't know the hardships of my life. But here the psalmist, he's not naive. The psalmist and the hardships of life in a fallen world, he knows. The psalmists, the sons of Korah, they know. It's a frightening image before them. The raging seas, the earthquakes, the unstableness, the dangers, the catastrophic things that are happening, the nations raging against one another. It's just absolute chaos. But in the midst of this, they teach us, God is our refuge. God is our fortress. God is our strength in times of trouble. Hey, in the coming year, the economy may falter. Whoever gets elected as president may bring much chaos to the US. But we're reminded this morning, our refuge, our strength, the place that we can flee to is not in our own wits, our own education, or our own finances. But the place that we can run to is our fortress, our God. Because in this fortress, there's peace like a river that flows into our lives. And in this river, we can drink from this river. We can thrive in this river because God is there each and every step of the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you remind us that you are our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we need not fear, even though there may be earthquakes, there may be fear and mountains crumbling before us, the inner chaos and the turmoil that we may face with financial pressures or work pressures or health. Lord, we know that there is a great city that brings joy because you are with us. You are dwelling here among us. Help us to be attentive to your presence. Help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to look at those things and say, hey, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you doing in my life? And Lord, help us this morning to know that you are always victorious among us. Allow us to open our eyes to see the deserted battlefield, to know that you have already gone before us and you have already won the battle. Lord, you are unshakable, and Lord, you are our great refuge, and you are solid, you are true, and there is no one like you. So Lord, we turn our hearts to you and we look to you as our Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.